So, if you have joined us today for the first time, welcome again. We are preaching through the book of Nehemiah at the moment. And last week, Glenn did a great job of introducing us to the character and book of Nehemiah, gave us a lot of good background. And this morning we look at Nehemiah's first prayer. We'll see him pray often in the book, and as a God-honoring man, he's a great example to us. So will you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, we're reading from verse 4 to 11. And if you're able, may I ask that you please stand for the reading of God's word. Nehemiah chapter 1, from verse 4 to 11. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you, day and night, for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, our cupbearer to the king. You may be seated. May God bless the reading and hearing of his word here this morning. You just bow your heads and pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray now that as I preach your word this morning, Father, that you would use me as your vessel. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord. I pray that you would make the congregation's hearts and minds open to receive a word from you this morning. Holy Spirit, just move here this morning in this place, through your people. And through me this morning. We need you, Holy Spirit. We depend on your power. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So it is fitting that we come to this passage in Nehemiah today. It is December, the end of the year, where we reflect on the year that's been. Can you believe that it's already December? And how often we say to ourselves, oh, how the time has flown. Can't believe it's December already. But it is December. And I want to ask you this morning, when was the last time you took time for introspection? To see whether maybe it's time to repent for certain things that you've done. Also, it is the second week of Advent. The time where we look forward to the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, it is Communion Sunday, where just now we will break bread as we remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. So I want today to be a time of reflection, where we look inward. Now throughout the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, the themes of returning, rebuilding, reform, repentance, restoration, renewal, and revival keep coming up. And in today's passage especially, repentance. And we get a good example from Nehemiah this morning about confessing and repenting and seeking God's face as we move forward from how we've sinned in the past and how we look forward to how we can be renewed and restored and reformed and returned to God again. Now, as we look at Nehemiah's prayer of confession and repentance, we know, all of us, we know
that the nation of Israel fell many times. As the people of God, they were called to be the covenant people. Yet they often broke the covenant they made with the God Most High. Right? We know this from their history. God made a covenant with Abraham that this will be his people and that the nations will be blessed through these, through the Israelites. But time and again they slipped and they fell. Through David, through Solomon, through all of the kings that came after that, there were times, there were many good times of revival and renewal, but often they fell. And we see in Ezra and Nehemiah the same thing. Zerubbabel returned with the first remnant to try and rebuild the temple, and that didn't last very long. Ezra returned to teach the Torah and rebuild the community of Israel, and that didn't work either. And now we see in Nehemiah as well, we will see that he wants to rebuild the wall and it goes well for a little while, and then yet again the people of Israel fall. And here again Nehemiah has seen that there is a problem. He's greatly disheartened by it and he turns to God in prayer. And the prayer ends with him asking God for help. Now, what can we learn from Nehemiah's prayer today? If you look at this prayer, you can see that it's divided quite nicely into four sections. Verses 6 and 7, verse 5, is he praises God. Then in verse 6 and 7, he repents of sin. In verse 8 and 9, he agrees with God's promises. And in verse 11, he yearns for God's blessing. Now, we learned last week that Nehemiah was a man who got things done. And yet, when faced with this crisis in verse 3, the first thing Nehemiah does is weep. Then for days he mourns, fasts, and prays. And isn't that such a good example? When we can see that things are going wrong, what should be the first thing that we do as Christians? We should pray. We should fast. We should mourn for those times when we have not done the things that God wants us to do. And we should pray for a time of renewal. So this is what he does. But it's so interesting. I found this quite amusing when I read it. So in verse 3, we remember that Hanani came to him, his brother Hanani came to him and told him what was happening in Jerusalem. And we know from verse 1 that it says that he came in the month of Kislev. So in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, Hanani came and told him this stuff, right? Then in verse 4 it says, he sat down and for some days, the NIV translation says, for some days he mourned, fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. But if we read a little bit further in chapter 2, it says in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year, of King Artaxerxes. So it's the same here. And as Glenn told us so nicely last week, Kislev was November, December, right? And then just before he speaks to the king about this thing that's on his heart, and this some days that he talks about here, happened obviously between the month of Kislev and the month of Nisan, which is around March, April. So I find it quite interesting that he says, for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed. We're talking about a 3 to 4 month period of fasting, mourning, and praying. How often in your life has your sin got you so down that you prayed and fasted and mourned for 4 months? When last did you do that? And maybe we should. I think sometimes we don't pray for forgiveness. We don't confess and repent often enough. And we know that Nehemiah, there are at least 11 incidents of prayer from Nehemiah in here. So we know that he sat down and he wept and mourned, fasted and prayed for 4 months. And then he says, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. So what is he doing? What is he doing right there? That's verse 5. In verse 5, he starts his prayer with praising God and recognizing God's holiness, which is how Jesus taught us to pray in his model prayer to us, right? So immediately when I read Nehemiah's prayer, I immediately thought of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And Jesus told us in Matthew 6, 9 and 10 that we start our prayer with, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," because he is hallowed. He is amazing. He is awesome. He is holy. And that's how we should start our prayers of repentance and confession to God, by recognizing that he is sovereign, that he is awesome, that he is unchanging. We will sin constantly, but God remains constant, right? And Nehemiah will talk again later in the prayer about this covenant relationship between God and Israel. Now, we have a covenant relationship with God as well through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as we approach God, we must always remember that he doesn't change. We change. So we always got to put him first when we pray. You'll notice as well, at the beginning there, "O Lord, God of heaven," he prays. And the Lord is in capital letters, which we know that when the Lord is in capital letters, he's talking about that covenant name of God that shouldn't be spoken, Yahweh. It shouldn't be spoken half-heartedly. You'll notice he uses the proper name of the one true God. Knowledge and use of the name implies personal and covenant relationship with God. In the first half of verse 6, Nehemiah asks God for a hearing. And in the second half, confesses his sin. And again, that reminded me of the Lord's Prayer, where confession comes very soon after that, right? Matthew 6, verse 12. In verse 6, we see Nehemiah not only prays for forgiveness of his sins and his family's sin, but the sin of all Israel. And immediately when I read that, I thought, could we learn a lesson here about praying not only for us and our families, but also for for our communities and the greater SA and our country as well? Why should we not just think about our own sin, but think about our country's sin as well? Because the things that are happening in our country, and especially at this time as well, these things should break our hearts, because it breaks God's heart. So we should pray for forgiveness for our sins, confess our sins, repent of our sins, but we should also pray that God would work in our church, in our community, in our workplaces, in our country, especially with our leaders as well, because we know that things are falling apart a little bit at the moment. And instead of complaining about it, we should be praying. Pray for Cyril Ramaphosa. And pray for all the leaders. Pray for the ANC. Lots of pressure. We should be on our knees day in and day out for the ANC. Then in verse 8 and 9. Oh, I just want to go back. It's so beautiful what he prays here. He says, "I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses." How often do we break God's commands? How often do the things that break our heart, not break ours? Or we don't think about how it breaks God's heart. Then in verse 8 and 9, he says, "Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the forest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name.'" So what is he doing here? He is remembering the promises of God in verse 8 and 9. We know from what Glenn preached last week that Nehemiah was very well versed in the scriptures. And you'll see throughout this prayer that there are so many phrases where you will find those phrases in the writings of Moses as well. You'll find those phrases in Daniel's writings as well. So Nehemiah was very well versed in the word. So he prays the prays the promises of God. And we too as Christians should pray the promises of God. And what better promises to pray about than 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. Which relates to this verse as well. It says, if my people who are called by my name, this is God speaking, right? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Oh, what a better time to pray this promise of God than right now. What about 1 John 1 verse 9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. So what he does, he starts by praising God. Then he goes on to confessing, repenting of his sin, of his family's sin, and of his nation's sin. And then in verse 8 and 9, he prays the promises of God. So let this be a good example to us this morning. Then in verse 10 and 11, verse 10 he says, I'm just paraphrasing what he said. He said, this is who we are. We are your people. Please hear our prayer and help us to do the things that set us on the right path again. Right? He says, he talks about that we, the people of Israel, are your servants, whom you redeemed with your great strength and your mighty hand. Oh Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, speaking about himself, and then the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name, the people of Israel. And then he makes a request of God, right? He's praised God, he's repented of sin, he's agreed with God's promises. Now he yearns for God's blessing, he's asked for God's help. He says, give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. So he knows that this task of going to Artaxerxes to ask to be released to go and help rebuild the wall, he knows that it's going to be a difficult task. And when we as Christians face difficult tasks, how often we try and just barge in there on our own strength instead of taking a moment and saying, Lord, this is a difficult task I'm facing now. Please, will you help me? Please, will you grant me favor in this difficult task that I'm facing? So what an amazing example we have in this prayer of Nehemiah's. And I do encourage you to go and read it again and to see the different sections. And then to model your prayers on this prayer as well. Because in the end, repentance and confession of sin should be a daily thing for us as Christians. It's part of who we are, right? Often we slip and fall. We fall short of God's standard of righteousness in our lives. Often we do it. And none of us can say that we are without sin. Everything... as the Bible tells us, even our greatest works, we think, are dirty rags to God. Because if your intention is wrong, then what does it help you to do that? So please, make repentance and confession of sin a daily thing in your life as a Christian. Why? Because the Bible tells us, the Bible speaks often about confessing sin and repentance. And God makes some amazing promises in his word about confession and repentance. I found some amazing verses which I just wanted to highlight for you as well, to think and reflect and pray on. Psalm 32 verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Luke 24, 46 to 49. Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Matthew 6, 14 to 15. Just comes after Jesus has taught his disciples and those around him his prayer. He ends off by saying, For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Such a big thing, I think, for a lot of people is to repent and confess about unforgiveness towards other people, bitterness and unforgiveness toward other people. So if you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart this morning, I urge you to confess and repent of it. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Again, another one of the verses that encourages that. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Matthew 3:8, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Luke 5:31-32, Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous person, is powerful and effective. Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. We find mercy and grace from God when we repent of our sins and we're open and honest with all of our sins before God. Then He will show us mercy. I just wanted to talk a little bit about confession and repentance. So confession, right, is admitting and acknowledging your sin before God. But it's also declaring your faith. Often in the Bible it says, confess that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Right? You are declaring your faith. So we can, a confession is admitting and acknowledging your sin, but also declaring your faith. This can be a profession of allegiance, an admission of bad behavior, or an emphatic declaration of the truth. We stand on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then repentance is regret or remorse. It doesn't help if you repent for a sin and then you just keep on doing it. Because repentance is regret and remorse, and it comes from the Greek word metanoia, which is a change of mind. The state of changing any or all of the elements composing one's life, attitudes, thoughts, behaviors concerning the demands of God for right living. It can refer to the foundational salvation event in Christ as well, or to the ongoing repentance in a Christian's life. Christian, you must repent daily. True repentance leads a person to say, I have sinned, and they prove it by a 180-degree change of their direction. Repentance requires true brokenness. Repentance is not asking the Lord for forgiveness with the intent to sin again. Repentance is an honest, regretful acknowledgement of sin with commitment to change. Repentance leads us to cultivate godliness while eradicating bad habits that lead to sin. Let us not stop and not forget to keep on confessing and repenting. Because God promises that when we do that daily, He will renew us. Isaiah 30:15 says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And then finally, Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So as you go forward from today into this week, I do pray that you would use this time of December, after this long year and all of the stuff that has happened, as we look forward to God sending Christ as a baby on Christmas, that during this time we will use it as a time of reflection, as a time of repentance, as a time of confession. Will you do that, church?